time. Father, we magnify and we exalt your name today. We lift you up, Jesus Christ. We magnify and exalt the name that is above every name. We worship you today, oh God. We magnify your name in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. In the time of the city of Samaria and in the day of the people of God, this was a very, very dark time. To give you context of the word of the Lord in which we begin with today, let's back up to 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 24. It says, afterward, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, mustered his entire army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria as they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. And the fourth part of a cob of dove's dung was sold for 5 shekels of silver. These people were in desperate straits. When the Bible said there was famine in the city, there was famine in the city. It says, now as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman called out to him saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord will not help you, how shall I help you? From the threshing floor or from the wine press? And the king asked her, what is your trouble? And she answered, the woman said to me, give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and ate him. And on the next day I said to her, give your son that we may eat him. But she has hidden her son. When I say, and the word of God says, it was a bad famine, it was a very, very bad famine. It was a very dark day in the time of the people of God. It was a very dark day in the city of Samaria. We see that they were reduced to degradation of eating their own children to stay alive. My mind cannot comprehend being in such a desperate state that I would be willing to boil and eat my own baby. But folks, that's where these people were. It was a very, very dark time in their life. Somebody has walked into this place today. You might not have boiled your baby. You might not have bought a donkey's head to eat or the fourth part of a dove's dung, but you walked into this house today and your life has been dark. Your life has been midnight. Your life has been black and you're wondering, is there a way out? You are wondering, is there a tomorrow for me? God has sent this preacher to you today to tell you that the blessing is coming, my friend. The blessing is coming to your life. When the king heard the words of the woman, he tore his clothes. Now he was passing by on the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth beneath on his body. And he said, may God do so to me, and more also, if the head of Elisha, the Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today. Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. Now the king had dispatched a man from his presence, but before the messenger arrived, Elisha said to the elders, do you see how this murderer has sent to take off my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold fast against him. If not, the sound of his master's feet behind him. And while he was still speaking with them, the messenger came down to him and said, the trouble is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? The first place the people wanted to do, the first place the king wanted to blame was the man of God for the trouble that they were in. My friend, I want to tell you today, it wasn't the man of God's fault that Samaria was besieged. It wasn't the man of God's fault that there was famine in the land. It was because of the lifestyle that the people were living that they found themselves in the situation that they were in. We're living in a day and age where everybody's responsible for my behavior but me. That's not the will of God. That's not the Spirit of God. That's not the Word of God, my friend. Samaria was in the condition they were in because of the lifestyle that they chose to live, the sin that they chose to partake of. And if we're ever going to move forward, my friend, we're going to have to do what the Bible says. We're going to have to repent of our sins and turn from the life that we're living to the life that God wants us to live. But in spite of all that, there was mercy waiting on them. You know, the Bible says that the Lord's mercy is as high as the heavens above the earth. So great is His mercy, what? Toward them that fear Him. If you're not finding the mercy of God in your life today, I want to ask the question, could it be because you don't have the fear of God in your life? Could it be because we could sin without abandon, not fearing a hot red devil's hell, not fearing a lake of fire, not fearing if I die in my sin, I'm lost for eternity? My friend, it's not the will of God that any should perish, but sin, as the old song, it's never going to enter there. We've got to check our lives. We've got to check our motives. We've got to check our spirits and repent. In spite of the terrible condition that the people of God in the city of Samaria found themselves in, God put it upon the man of heart, God's heart, to stand up and say, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." Sometimes when the man of God gets up in the pulpit, or the man of God comes to us in our lives and he says, "Hear the word of the Lord." The word of the Lord is the last thing we want to hear, but it's the first thing we need to hear, my friend, because it will always steer us in the right direction. He said, "Hear the word of the Lord." Oh, I'm talking to somebody today, and I tell you, I'm talking to myself. I want to hear the word of the Lord. The blessing is coming. The blessing's coming. He said, "Tomorrow." He said, "About this time." He said, fine flour is going to be sold. A measure for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel. And there was a little problem though. There was a man, the Bible says, on whom the king leaned. He said, "If the Lord would make windows of heaven, might this thing be?" Are you telling me, Elisha, you think this is going to happen? You think the blessing's going to come? Man, don't you understand? They're selling donkey's heads for 80 shekels. And you're telling me I'm going to be able to buy a measure, not just flour, but fine flour for a shekel? Man, if God would make windows of heaven, there's no way this thing's going to happen. Why did the man upon whom the king leaned have such an attitude? Because he was looking at the current conditions of the city of Samaria. He was looking at the fact that it was besieged. He was looking at the fact that they were captive. He was looking at the fact no one was going in and no one was going out. He could not hear the word of God because he was looking at his present circumstance and he was hung up on his past. God just spoke to us a few moments ago in the gift of tongues and interpretation. And that's every bit as valid, the word of the Lord, as a man standing behind this pulpit. And God told us that if we want freedom, we got to let go of what we've been holding on to. And we'll walk out of here free. Now, some of us will walk out of here bound, and I'm sorry, but we'll wonder why. Because we're so hung up on what's going on around us right now. And we're so hung up on what happened yesterday, that we will not hear the word of the Lord. We're like that guy saying, "Come on, Elisha. If God made windows in heaven and the blessings just could flow right out of them, might this thing be?" I'm telling you what, just as sure as Elisha's prophecy was going to come to pass, the prophecy of the word of God that he gave us in tongues and interpretation will come to pass if we will just obey the word of the Lord. The blessing is coming. The blessing is coming. The blessing is coming. The blessing is coming. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You've been praying for a long time. You've been believing for a long time. You've been worshiping for a long time. And it seems like everything's been shut up. It seems like you've been dying in the spirit. It seems like you can't go forward and you can't go backward. It seems like everything you do in the spirit costs you everything you have. And it seems like it's never going to work out. But I've come today. I've come today. I've come today to tell you the blessing's coming. The blessing's coming. God's going to turn it around. God's got it worked out. It's happening. It's going to happen. In Jesus' name. But we can't be like that man on whom the king leaned and say, "I don't know about it. Brother Pritt, I'd just love to believe what you're preaching, but you don't know. Brother Pritt, I'd love to believe what you're preaching, but you don't understand. Sister Julia, thank God you were using the gifts and tongues of interpretation, but I doubt." Words like that, my friend, will kill you. Words like that will stop the blessing of God. And in this man's case, they were literally sealed his doom. Why? Because the man of God looked at him. I'm telling you what. I don't know what it was. I tell you what it was. I do know what it was. It was his unbelief. He drew a line in the sand. And he said, I'm going up to the line, but I'm not going any further. What would you do? How would you act if you knew the next step was the step that's going to propel you into the blessing that God has for you? How would you worship? How would you worship if you knew the next hallelujah was the one that broke the windows of heaven open and the blessing of God came for you? What would you do? How would you pray? How would you pray if you knew the next amen was the last amen before God opened the doors of heaven and poured out the blessing for you? Amen. 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 How early would you be to church if you knew the next time you walked through that door was the time that God was going to release your situation because you were faithful to Him? Oh God, the blessing's coming. If you weren't here Thursday night, when they get it on the website, it may be there, I don't know. But Thursday night's message that God used Brother Mark to preach, to talk to us between day six and a miracle. I'm telling you what, this is confirmation of the Word of God Thursday night. He said in the end of his message, day seven's coming, people. Did you catch that Thursday? Were you here Thursday? Did you catch that? He said day seven's coming. The miracle's coming. Got it already. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Hallelujah. 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 He said day seven's coming. He had no idea what God had given me to preach. He had no idea what my notes said. He said day seven's coming. You hang in there, saint of God. You keep doing what God wants you to do. And when the man of God comes along with a word for you and says, you just keep worshiping. You just keep being faithful. You just keep coming to church. You just keep reading your Bible. You just keep praying. You just keep being faithful to God. The blessing's coming. Please, please don't sit there and look at your circumstance. Don't look at the dry, dead situation. Don't remember what's happened or what's been going on in your life. But my friend, with everything in you, take the word of God in spite of every sense that it does not make. Oh, my friend, take the word of God and obey it. Take the word of God and believe it. Take the word of God and worship God for it. Because if God said it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But that man sealed his fate with his unbelief. And he cut himself off from the blessing of God. Pastor Matt, he was 24 hours away from a miracle. Between day six and day seven, brother, it just dawned on me. This man was one day away. He was one day away. He was 24 hours a day, Stephen, from his miracle. And he cut himself off because he said, I don't believe it. What is God planning for your life? What have you been praying for? That it seems like God Himself isn't even listening to you. But it's the song we sang today. Did anybody notice the songs that we're singing today? Come on, man. God's talking to us. God's encouraging us. Oh. The Lord is encouraging us. He's helping us. He's talking to us. Don't cut yourself off. Three things I might think the Lord wants us to understand from this passage of Scripture. Number one is an admonition. These aren't three bullet points to my sermon that I thought were good, sounded good. I believe this is the Word of God for me and this congregation. Number one, be careful in your midnight hour. God is going to test you. God is going to try you. It's the way the walk of a disciple is. Peter said, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which have come to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." But sometimes when they hit us, man, we're still like new converts. What in the world's going on? The sky is falling. The sky is falling. It's not falling. God just turned up the heat a little bit. God's just finding out some things about us, and He's testing us a little bit. And sometimes it could be the circumstances that other people create in your life. That's what happened in Samaria. Ben-Hadad surrounded the city, and it was chaos. Those poor people in the city, I mean, yes, it was because of their sin, but some of those people, and they were innocent, they didn't ask for it. Sometimes you just get the ramifications of other people's actions, and guess what? If we're honest and we get rid of our self-righteousness, sometimes we cause that, don't we? Yes, I do. Yeah, we're human. We're human. It's not an excuse to not care, but it's just the fact of life. It's true. We're in the flesh. But be careful in your midnight hour. Because our attitude during the darkest time of our life will determine the blessing in the light. I want to say that again. Be careful in the midnight hour. Your attitude during the darkness will determine your blessing in the light. There will come a time in your life that you have to believe God simply at His Word. There will come a time when you have to believe God simply at His Word. Abraham and Sarah got awfully old before their little promised baby was born. They were already past childbearing years. I mean, it was just a miracle. He believed God. But he did. The time had went on, and things didn't happen in their timetable. And guess what? Sarah comes to Abraham and said, "You know, the Lord's withheld me from bearing. I think you ought to go in unto Hagar." Somebody needs to quit messing around with Hagar. Somebody needs to run from Hagar. Because you're about ready to create an Ishmael. My wife and I have been in several situations in our life, and we have agreed. And we covenanted together, basically. We didn't sit down and sign an agreement, but, you know, pretty much agreed together. Said we need to be careful, because the last thing we need to do is pick this up on our own and create an Ishmael. And one of them was to do with financial situation. Ishmael wasn't the son of promise. And Ishmael had to go. Ishmael and his poor mother suffered because of it, but Ishmael couldn't stay around because it wasn't a part of the plan of God. I'm telling you something. You don't want to create an Ishmael in your life. It's not the will of God. It's the will of God for God to perform His works exactly as He has ordained. If you're messing with the plan of God, get your hands off. God can do it. He can fix it in His time and His way. And if you have created an Ishmael, and this thing is following you around because you couldn't wait on God, guess what? There's repentance for you. But Ishmael's got to go. Be careful in the midnight hour. Your attitude during the darkness will determine your blessing in the light. That man was trampled to death the next day in a stampede. God didn't do it to him. The devil didn't do it to him. The man did it to himself. Number two, the sun is getting ready to come up again. The sun is getting ready to come up again. I want to remind us that it's actually morning at its darkest hour. Yeah. That's worth laughing at, man. That's worth rejoicing over. Because we call it the midnight hour. Oh, but at 12:01, it's a.m. Hallelujah. I've come to tell somebody today, you might be in the 12:01 a.m. of your hour. You might be in the darkest part of your life. But I've come to remind you today, honey, it is morning time. It's morning time. And the sun is going to shine again. Oh, it's going to shine. It's going to shine. Hallelujah. It's going to shine. Hallelujah. So the next time your flesh wants to tempt you with unbelief, why don't you remind yourself? Remind yourself. See, because I'm going to get done preaching. It feels good in here right now. We're going to have time for fellowship after. We're going to talk. We're going to bless one another. We're going to go home. And you're going to get up the next day. And you're... situation may not change tomorrow at 7 a.m. I haven't come to say that, and I hope I've not implied that. I am telling you, the blessing's coming. I am telling you, daylight's coming to your walk with God again. I'm telling you that. It's going to happen. But I don't know when. So I hope I have not given that impression. I'm not trying to stand here and tell you at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning everything's going to be okay. The reason why I'm preaching this message, because God is going to change your situation. It is going to change. God's blessing is going to come. However, if it doesn't come right when you think it should, if it doesn't happen at the exact hour we think it should, and you're sitting there in the darkest hour of your night, I'm telling you what, remind yourself, honey, it may be dark, but it's morning time. God will bring the sunshine again. God's going to bring it. Although it is still dark, nighttime is over. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Brother, I'm telling you, faith. Faith. You got to have faith. What is faith? Faith is looking at every situation that tells me impossible and saying, God can do it. Every situation that tells me it's never going to end, and God can do it. God's got this under control. God gave me a word. God said it's going to happen. It is going to happen. Faith. 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 Looking at your situation that you prayed for, that you've cried for, that you fasted for. Well, pastor told me if I would fast, this would change and that would change. How do I know to preach things like that? Because my flesh tells me stuff like that. Yeah. And if my flesh tells me stuff like that, I can guarantee it, your flesh tells you stuff like that. Well, you went to church and you worship God. And the preacher said, if you jump up and down, this would happen and that would happen. And it's not happened yet. Well, God's never turned the clock over to me. He's never turned His timetable over to me. Matter of fact, if we would be honest, the stuff that we're going through and the reason why sometimes it doesn't change when we think it should change, because there's a lot of changing that needs to go on in us. Anyway, just thought I'd have some fun. But it's true. We don't want to admit it. Because we have to be honest about ourselves. But if we were, you know, it's just what it is. But number two, the sun's getting ready to come up again for you. And number three, when it happens, don't keep the blessing to yourself. Somebody. Oh, God. Somebody needs your testimony. They don't need your facade. They need your testimony. You know, we're a lot alike, and I think he would concur, and that's what I like about him. I see no facade. I can't follow someone who I don't know who they are. I can't follow someone who never has a problem. I can't follow someone. He said it this morning, so I'm not telling you anything he didn't say. I can't follow someone who never sins and never messes up. And if you were here, you are all here today during Sunday school. You understand the context of what I'm saying. I can't do that. Folks, we got to be real. And somebody needs your testimony. And somebody needs not just to know your victory, but they need to know your failings. Now, I don't want to go through and see all your dirty laundry on the spiritual clothesline, and you go through and tell me everything that happened in your... That's not what I mean, and I think you know that. Paul himself said, I am the chiefest of sinners. That's what Paul said about himself. You know? Somebody needs to know what Jesus has done for us. Somebody needs to know when your blessing comes, when your sun rises on your situation, somebody's going to need your testimony. Amen? Amen. And I find it very interesting that the men who partook of the blessing were lepers. The first ones to it were lepers. They were outcasts. They were the ones nobody wanted to be around. They were the ones who were kicked out of the household of faith and had to live on the outside, lest they contaminate everybody else. But you know how they got to the blessing? They said, if we go here, we're going to die. If we go here, we're going to die. Why don't we just go over here? Because we just might live. And you know what? If they kill us, we're going to die anyway. Let's do something. You know what? I think God has come into this place today to tell some of us, why don't you get up and do something? You know what? If you go here, you're going to die. If you sit here, you're going to die. Why don't you do something and find out what I will do for you? Because if we come to Him, we're not going to die. He's not going to cast us out. The Bible says we can't come to Him except Him that sent Jesus draw. Well, I'm telling you what, He's drawing today. He's drawing. His hands are outstretched with the prints of nails. And He's saying, come unto Me, all ye that labor, all ye that are heavy laden with a burden of sin. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Does anybody want to come to Jesus today? This altar's open right now. Does anybody want to come and partake of the blessing of God? Does anybody want to come and say, Lord, I will believe Your word. And before we get to praying, I want to say one more thing before we start praying and before we start playing. You come to this altar. I want to ask one thing specifically of you. Believe God. Believe God. Brother Pratt, you don't know what I walked in here with. Believe God. You don't know what I done last night. Believe God. You don't know what I've been involved in. Believe God. You don't know what's been done to me. Believe God. You don't know what I did. Believe God. You don't know the... Believe God. You don't understand. Believe God. You don't know. Believe God. You don't know how long. Believe God. Believe God. Believe God. Believe God. Believe God. And obey Him. Amen. Amen. This altar's open. Let's worship the Lord. Let's magnify His name. Let's believe God and obey Him today. The blessing is coming. Amen.
open up the heavens and pour your spirit out like a mighty wind blow through this house. Open up the heavens and pour your spirit out.
Holy Spirit, rain down on us. Holy Spirit, rain down on us. Rain down on us. Holy Spirit, rain down on us.
Like a mighty wind, blow through this house. Open up the heavens and pour your spirit out. Like a mighty wind, blow through this house. Open up the heavens and pour your spirit out. Like a mighty wind, blow through this house. Open up the heavens and pour your spirit out. Like a mighty wind, blow through this house. Open up the heavens and pour your spirit out. Rain, Lord. Let it rain, Lord.
Let your Holy Spirit rain.
Baptize me with the Holy Ghost. baptized in Jesus' name. He'll fill the water today. We'll baptize you in Jesus' name. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you can come to this altar. And God can fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the very first time. Come on, let's rejoice. Hallelujah. Something's broken in this place. Hallelujah. The power is moving.
Like a raging fire, burning my soul.
Baptize me with the Holy Ghost. Like a raging fire, burning my soul. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost. Like a raging fire, burning my soul. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost. Like a raging fire, burning my soul. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost.
Kim, come on up here. We baptized her in Jesus' name. We want to give you a certificate to hang on your wall. Amen. That's worth rejoicing over. That's worth praising God over. Oh, one more. Praise God. Take the victory you got here today and share it with somebody. Tell them about it. Let your witness out. Amen. Let your praise out. Tell them God's doing some miraculous things. Greet our guests. Thank you for being in the house of God today.